Why are we not funding this?
I always love this beginning of this song. I mean, badass guitars, everything, you know, you just, and the guy's like, you know, got a V-neck and he's got the long hair and it's all just waving around when this happens. Hold on, bring it up, keep it right here. Until then. Hey, it's Crazy Train. Like, it's such a badass beginning, and like, you know, they play that when the, you know, the defense comes on the field and, you know, is ready to go and kick some ass and everything like that, but they can't let it get to that part, because if it gets to that part, it's like, which is, again, I'm not saying that, you know, you can't have the diddly dee song that you like, but you really shouldn't mix it together when you're beginning with such a badass opening. That's just my opinion.
I've never thought about it that way, Brian, and I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to listen to Crazy Train the same way.
It bugs the crap out of me, but that's not why you came here. We're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Brian. That's Luke.
We're talking about trains.
About trains
and the lack of high-speed rail capabilities that the country will have compared to pretty much the rest of the world.
Oh yeah, you know, one of my regulars, one of my who became a really good friend of myself and a couple of other my friends, really good group of friends of ours.
Mm-hmm.
Joey, he works in the railroad. He ran the railroad station. He was the guy in charge of the entire rail yard.
That is awesome.
And listening to him talk about being a rail guy, it's really interesting, and just he had to deal with union disputes, and you know, I glean a lot of information as to how the inner workings of, you know, boss versus the union politics, as it were, because sometimes people clearly use the things to their advantage and back and forth, and
yeah,
it's funny the way things happen. You know, remember that Amtrak, again, this is probably a good reason to go with high speed rail and maybe move out of the, I don't know, 1980s type of technology.
It seems like it hasn't changed much.
The Amtrak that went off the rails in New Jersey, that was his rail yard.
Oh yeah, the infrastructure that needed to be updated.
He had to deal with that.
Yeah, that is not a good day.
That was infrastructure that needed to be updated.
Yep.
And it was not. And then he had to deal with a whole bunch of headaches. But yep. God bless you, Joey. He's one of the nicest and most wonderful, genuine human beings I've ever met. And I love that guy. Anyway, that was one of our wonderful tangents.
Yeah.
But a couple of people we love, we're going to talk about this high-speed rail situation. And I want to get to some other stuff that is really tweaking me right now. So let's get to some phone calls. Let's go to Dick in Madison. How you doing, buddy?
Real good, guys. Hey, you know, kind of thanks Scott Walker, right? And once again, he's like the gift that keeps on giving.
And it wasn't even to a good end either.
No. 53 miles, oh gosh. If you leave Madison and go south, that'll get you just a little beyond Janesville.
Uh-huh.
What are we complaining about?
That's the high-speed rail total for the entirety.
I think that's in kilometers, too,
it's
guys.
In kilometers,
it's,
so it's...
It's shorter than
it's
that.
It's probably shorter than that. That's the entirety of the high-speed rail for the United States in service.
When that argument was going on in 2010, I had this friend of mine that, we don't need that. It's ridiculous. If I go to Milwaukee, got a perfectly good eye system. I said, dude, you go down there for business a lot, correct? Yeah. And I said, can you work on your laptop when you're driving your car? And in the winter, you bring that into the equation. I used to have to go down there quite often. And it was a nightmare to go to Milwaukee if you ran into even the slightest bit of snow, if you had to be somewhere at a certain time. But, you know, he just couldn't see it, and he argued vehemently with me about it. I said, there's no sense in arguing any further with you. I mean, you're against it. I'm for it. And I said, now I'll never see it in my lifetime. You know, it's the guy's something else. He's, like I said, he's a gift that keeps on giving, only he's kind of like herpes.
Jeez.
Just, well, sticks around and just won't go away.
And Dick, one of the worst things is I'm a young man and I might not even see it in my lifetime either, which is how far behind we are on this topic.
Imagine being in Seattle and anyway, let's go to Mark from the SAC. How you doing, Mark? What's going on, buddy?
Hey, well, you're kind of doing tangents in my mind. You talked about teleportation. I couldn't really help but remember there's the old Isaac Asimov short story called It's a Beautiful Day, where they actually develop that technology, but a kid sees it, isn't able to use it one day, walks outside and discovers what a beautiful world it is out there. So actually walks to school rather than step through the door and get to the next door and into the school. But I actually had penned a parody piece about that the Republicans actually hired Judge Doom to help them kill rail in Wisconsin because it is just as, for a Union News satire thing that we were doing, me and a friend were doing for a while.
Highways as far as the eye can see. It'll be beautiful.
But it's just disgusting because, you know, that we paid, you know, I think it was upwards of $65 million we paid to Talgo and didn't get anything out of it aside give them the rail cars. And that's like, you know, 10 years worth of the maintenance costs that Wisconsin would have had to pay toward our share of the rail funding. I mean, Scott Walker did this for one reason and one reason only. He wanted to run for president. It's to Jim Doyle's shame. They didn't just take the money before Walker got in and put the screws to him. That because Doyle said, well, we'll just wait. You know, let the next guy, you know, take it. Well, no. If you have that money on hand.
Well, if you can kick the can down the road, Mark, why wouldn't you be able to kick the can down the road? You can use this as a political football forever and ever and ever. And by the way, speaking of football, could you imagine a Green Bay Spur? Could you imagine the national impact of having a high-speed rail direct to Green Bay? Could you imagine the amount of people not just going towards but on the way back, could you imagine that train ride back? But again, it would be safe because you're not driving.
Yeah, getting out of Green Bay, leaving a game, leaving Lambeau is...
Oh, my God.
It is awful. It is awful.
Brake lights as far as the eye can see.
Yes, and the freeway has been expanded multiple times. Multiple times to get people quicker away from the stadium, and it's still a pain.
Still not working, huh?
No, it's still a pain. And a high-speed rail would be a godsend.
Also, because I can vouch for this, people driving are a-holes. they really are. I don't know why, for whatever reason, whenever I cross the state line here and I get into Wisconsin, automatically people with Wisconsin plates drive 70 or less in the left lane. And I don't know why. It's an epidemic. You guys need to fix it. Check yourselves and fix it. Get it done because Hulk will smash.
I'm not one of those people, but I'll share the message to anybody I know that does
slower that. Traffic move to the right.
Yeah,
that's it. That's it. And yeah. Tailgating and all this. Oh my goodness. So
we digress.
Again, Your fiance, your lovely fiance, is a hockey fan?
Girlfriend. Yeah.
I apologize.
That's okay.
I apologize.
Not a problem.
I'm mislabeling. Anyway.
She is a Blackhawks fan.
She's a Blackhawks fan.
And I'm a bandwagon Washington Capitals fan / Blackhawks fan.
I used to be a huge Boston Bruins fan. I cried myself to sleep when they were knocked out of the playoffs in junior high. It was bad. I'm a huge Cam Neely fan. He was Seabass in Dumb and Dumber. My number 8 is my number.
Yeah.
And mostly because Cam Neely is pretty darn awesome. 50 goals in 49 games during the lockout season. I'm a huge hockey fan. I loved hockey. The lockout drove me away a little bit. But anyway, when I came back to Chicago, that's when the Blackhawks were winning their Stanley Cups. They won 3 in 5 years, I believe.
Yep.
Pretty darn awesome, right?
Yeah.
During that time, during the 2010 championship run, they had a, I don't know if you guys have heard about this scandal here. But the Blackhawks, their GM just resigned.
Yep.
President of Operations. Because back in 2010, there's a video operator or video editor or video...
Videographer.
Videographer. Aldridge. And he took a young, impressionable teenager...
Yeah,
because again, if you remember, hockey is a sport. You know, you see a lot of NFL players going to college. Most of them do.
They have to, for the most part.
Yeah, at least one and done for now.
No.
You have to go
for football. You got to be eligible. Yeah, I believe you have to complete 2 or 3 college seasons.
But there's at least and even basketball has like a reasonably like the people who come right out of high school are of note.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Moses Malone and you know
Kobe Bryant, LeBron James,
LeBron and. Minnesota Garnett. Yep. But you know, they're still somewhat rare. In hockey, They've had 16, 17-year-olds on the ice in the NHL. If you can play, they'll put you on the ice. It doesn't matter. And a lot of these kids are, you know, brought up and grow up within their organizations. Mm-hmm. So, again, that's a backdrop here.
And that was almost news to me because Wisconsin doesn't have a hockey team. I didn't grow up.
That'd be weird because there's a cold area. You'd think that hockey would be perfect.
I still find that fascinating. We can go down that tangent another separate day. But I didn't have a strong attachment to hockey because I didn't grow up in Madison where the college hockey team would be. I grew up in Milwaukee. And so, I mean, we had the Admirals, but
that's a fun game.
Hockey
is better live. Hockey's one of those, if you watch it live, you'll probably fall in love with it. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah, and so I didn't have this attachment. So that kind of information, the fact that 16, 17, and 18-year-olds are eligible and they're mm-hmm. going to the NHL.
And it's common.
And it's regular.
Yeah.
It's a regular thing. It's
very
not,
common.
Right. That is what threw me off on this story when you brought this to my attention.
Yeah. So according to the report, there's a report that this has been going on obviously since 2010. But this is the summary. This is through Sports Illustrated, so they can do it a little quicker than I can, a little bit more concise.
Mm-hmm.
According to the report, which is conducted by the law firm Jenner & Block, a contingent of the Blackhawks Senior Leadership Trust met on May 23rd, 2010 to discuss the accusations that Brad Aldrich had sexually assaulted a Blackhawks player prior to the team's Western Conference final game against the San Jose Sharks back in 2010. Now, the alleged confrontation was he's the video guy, right? So he says, hey, man, come to my room. I got this video I want to show you, and then makes an advance on the guy, threatens him with a bat and his career if he didn't go through with it. So the guy went through with it. This is called John Doe. The kid was like 18, I want to say, around that age.
Yeah.
Now, not only so this guy reported it, and the Blackhawks knew about it, and they senior leadership
discussed it before a playoff game.
Stan Bowman, McIsaac, along with President CEO John McDonough, formerly of the Cubs, Coach Joel Quenneville, Assistant GM Kevin Sheveldayoff, who is now with, I believe, the Winnipeg Jets, and Executive Vice President Jay Blunk. Quenneville and Sheveldayoff are the only members of that group to still hold senior positions with NHL teams following Bowman's resignation today. That was yesterday. Quenneville is currently the coach of the Florida Panthers, and Sheveldayoff is the GM of the Jets. All three had publicly denied having knowledge of these accusations at the time. The Panthers told the Hockey News that Commissioner Gary Bettman has indicated that he will be meeting with Joel Quenneville to discuss the events, and I believe they're talking right now. In an official statement, Quenneville said the allegations in this lawsuit are clearly serious. This is from July 13th. I first learned of these allegations through the media earlier this summer. He was at the meeting. That was a lie. In an official statement on July 22nd, Sheveldayoff said, I had no knowledge of any allegations involving Mr. Aldrich until asked if I was aware of anything just prior to the conclusion of his employment with the Chicago Blackhawks. He, too, was at the meeting, and that, too, was a lie. Additionally, the report states the Blackhawks director of human resources at the time revealed that McDonough, then president CEO of the Blackhawks, told her that the group had met on 23rd, concluded they will not alert human resources or outside legal counsel so as not to disturb team chemistry. They wanted to give this guy his day with the Stanley Cup. They didn't report this or say anything about it until after they won the Stanley Cup. In fact, they said, you can either be fired or be investigated. He chose to be fired. They gave him $35,000 in a severance package after sexually assaulting one of their players and then gave him a recommendation. He ended up working at a high school. He worked at Notre Dame, and he worked in Miami of Ohio. Also, there's a John Doe 2 now because of that. And they also they told him after being fired that he couldn't interact with any Blackhawks personnel. He was at all of the Blackhawks celebrations, and he got his own day with the Stanley Cup. They gave a predator their own day with the Stanley Cup. And if you think it's just the upper management that covered this up or that has culpability in this, it's also the freaking players, and they need to burn too. I'm going to get off on this a little bit more. And when we come back, 844-967-2789, the Chicago Blackhawks need to burn.